This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
All right, into hour two of the program. On a Friday, that means it's time for our friend Ron from Maryland to call in because it's time for Pop Culture Friday. Ron, how are we doing?
Doing just fine, Adam.
Ron, I have great news. Somebody texted me and I just tested it to see that it was true. If you go to Google and you type in Ron from Mary, and then before you're even done, Google's autocomplete is Ron from Maryland CFAX. You have made the Google autocomplete rankings, my friend.
Wonderful. I hope I'll make it on YouTube soon.
I'm not sure if it works that way, but maybe.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I have some exciting news for the Taylor Swift fans out there. Her new album is out.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't think that's... Wasn't it leaked, or what happened there?
Well, it just came out about somewhere after midnight, and it's said to be a double album.
Oh, neat.
So I hope it will do well on the charts along with Beyoncé's latest album.
It usually does.
Yeah. Hopefully Taylor won't mind sharing the charts with Beyoncé because Taylor used to be a country music star.
Used to be?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember back in 2009, she was accepting an award on the MTV Video Music Awards, and Kanye West stormed on stage and interrupted her.
I seem to recall that.
Yes. Anyway, I hope we'll hear a lot more about this album. Elsewhere on the scene, it's Jane Mansfield's birthday.
Yeah.
Jane Mansfield, the star of films like The Girl Can't Help It and Little Success, Spoil Rock Hunter, and numerous other films. Then, at the box office this past weekend, the new movie Civil War bumped Godzilla and Kong to second place.
Is it any good?
I haven't seen it yet. I've yet to check a review on it.
Okay.
I'm waiting for Common Sense Media to put out a parental guide on that one, so that way parents will know what to expect in the movie.
Well, it's about war, so I would assume it'd be scary for the kids. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And during the top of the hour news, we heard that a violinist is entertaining a stranded killer whale.
Yeah, Little Brave Hunter is the English translation of the little whale's name. We've been following her story for a little while now. I'm not sure how much of an impact the violin's going to have, but...
It's going to be wonderful. You should do an interview with her sometime.
Yeah? You think we should reach out?
Yes.
Okay, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, maybe we can find out if she knows Paganini's 24th Capricci.
That would be a very specific request.
Yeah, a piece that Sergei Rachmaninoff, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and others have done variations based on that piece.
Now, why that piece for the whale?
Well, I think it should be one that it will enjoy.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Do you think whales enjoy music the same way we do? You think if we listened to a song that we liked and the whale heard it, the whale would enjoy it too, or are we that different?
Well, we'll find out.
Okay. We'll do an experiment, maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, that concludes Pop Culture Friday. Happy Earth Day, everyone, on Monday.
Ron, have a great weekend.
Bye.
Okay, bye now. Ron from Maryland. Ron from Maryland. Texter 107010 writes, "Hey, Ron from Maryland, it's been a tough week. Hearing your voice made me smile. Thank you." Ron makes everybody's week better. I always say he's the best part of the program. And now apparently Google autocomplete. If you type in Ron from Mary, it'll autocomplete Ron from Maryland CFAX. I just typed it in. I've never typed that into Google before because, you know, I don't really have cause to type things into Google that I actually don't expect to return any HTML hits. But there it is. Enough people have typed Ron from Maryland CFAX into Google that Google knows what that string is now. Texture 107010 writes, "Hi, Ron. Thank you for being amazing. Victoria loves you. Adam, how did it start that Ron called into your show?" Texture, honestly, it started so long ago, and it happened so organically and iteratively that I honestly couldn't tell you the accurate story at this point. because it happened iteratively over time, and essentially Pop Culture Friday came out of the rule that we have for open lines, which is we want to limit the topics that callers bring up to things we've discussed on the show. And I use the term in recent memory. That can be weeks. It can even be months. But it's something that we've broached on the show, because otherwise, if it's a topic that I have no idea anything about, I haven't researched it, I could have people calling in and making things up to test me, and then, you know, pulling pranks like, oh, remember when this person said this? I want to talk about Article 472, and I don't know what that is because it was just made up, but I don't know it was just made up. So the reason that we have that rule is we want to limit it to topics that we've discussed on the show, because worst case scenario, I'm going to pull up my notes from that show and I can sort of scan through them so I can give you a quasi-intelligent response, ideally. Ron would love talking about movies, and he would love talking about pop culture stuff, and people were like, that violates the rule, that violates the rule. And I'm thinking, but I don't want to put an end to this. So what organically grew out of that was every Friday, Ron would be given a space where he could call in and he could talk about things that were not on our agendas, and it would be pop culture issues that he loved to talk about. And that was essentially how Pop Culture Friday got started, and it has become something that I look forward to every week. And I'll also tell you this, I don't know what Pop Culture Friday is going to have on it until I hear it live with all of you. It's a surprise for me every week as well. And that's one of the reasons that I enjoy it so much, is it's like opening a present every week. Texture 107010 writes, how did Ron discover CFAX? Did he have a contact in Victoria before? I believe he used to visit Victoria, and I think he started listening to us that way. And he is a smart speaker that he listens to us on most days. And he lives in Maryland, about 20 minutes outside Baltimore, if you're curious. And he comes and he visits here for his yearly vacations. He came here last year as well. And somebody actually made him a T-shirt that says Ron from Maryland on it. And it had, I think it had a picture of the Clipper, because he likes coming on the Clipper. And he comes and he spends his vacation here. And he's a household name. You know, they know him out in Langford. He talks about his friends out in Langford. He listens to the show most days. And he's part of our community. He's in the in group. We made a deliberate decision here to bring him into the fold, and he is as much a part of this program as I am or as anybody else is. And we love hearing from him every Friday because he puts a big smile on my face too, and I'm glad that he does you. We're going to take a quick break. After this, I'm going to reflect on what I think is the most hilarious story of the week, and that's the Langford Tree story. Look, I'm sorry, but I got slammed for like months because I was telling the truth about Langford's tree situation, trying to basically swim upstream against an absolute raging rapids torrent of internet misinformation. I think a lot of it was like not deliberate. I think a lot of people just sort of talked themselves into this quasi delusion and thinking Langford had no trees left and it was the worst in the CRD and all this other stuff. When in fact, Langford actually, out of Victoria, Saanich, and Langford, the big three, Langford has more trees than either Saanich or Victoria does, proportionately speaking. Victoria would need 50,000 new mature trees that do not exist right now just to come up to 40% coverage. Even then, it couldn't touch Langford because Langford would still be 8 percentage points ahead of it. And that's after the Bear Mountain development. That's after all the land that's been cleared. That's after the land behind Costco was cleared. Langford has approximately 2,000 hectares of treed canopy right now. It's absolutely huge. And yet, well, politics is politics, so it somehow got forgotten. And an election was determined, and the construction of new housing on the island may have been changed, or the South Island may have been deflected downward forever because of it. But you know what? There's a little bit of irony in that new crew that was sure that if it got these plans done, it would show how much better they were than that awful tree cutting down Stu Young. And they get back the first major report on the state and the health of their forest canopy. And all it does is prove that Langford is better than both Victoria and Saanich. In fact, even if you take the parks out, if you take the parks out of Langford, it's not 48% coverage. You know what it is? It's 30%. Victoria is 28. So Langford still has more trees than Victoria, even if you don't count the parks, which, of course, you should count because they help with the climate like everything else. Anyway, I've got clips coming up. Don't go anywhere. 1, 2, 3,
my baby don't mess around because she loves me so. If it's happening, it's here. This is Adam Sterling
on CFAX 1070.
I haven't even gotten to Susan Kim saying no offense to Victoria's bylaw department, but people don't trust you.
Please do not interpret this as a slight on your work. It's more so just, it's just common knowledge. People don't trust you and your colleagues.
I mean, Victoria bylaw department, I'm really sorry that you have to deal with that, but yeah, no, Victoria Council is just as much of a farce as it's always been. I wonder if she'll get that 25% raise all the same. Who is on the task force? I want to know who's on that task force. I want to know their names, and I want the public to know their names as well. That report's supposed to be coming back in July. I think that's too soon. But we haven't forgotten about the raise issue. What were they talking about yesterday? Staff has been instructed to report back by, I think it's July 1st. We'll listen to the date to double check. On three new locations where they could have indoor or outdoor, depending on how what's available, sheltering-type locations. And I'm thinking sheltering-type locations. Is that like another tiny town? Is that like another tent in a parking lot? What are we talking about there? And will there be adequate security? Stephen Hammond said people should be terrified if they're near one of these places, unless the city can demonstrate that it has a way to actually secure safety and well-being in these neighborhoods. That's going to be coming up. First of all, though, I asked Mike Kozakowski about the Langford tree thing, because I do find it interesting. I want to go back in time. This is the evening of October 15th, 2022. This is the night of the municipal election. This is Stu Young talking with us on the phone right after the election. Everybody's shocked. He's lost. What happened? He told us the truth about what happened on day one. Listen.
It started about a year and a half ago.
He said there was a campaign against him, and it had misinformation.
And just, you know, with trying to get rid of me and obviously the council, and that was their plan all the way along. And, you know, they put mistruths out there and didn't talk about actual things that, you know, were good things in Langford, you know, as a community that has come from where we were in the last 20, 30 years. New people moving in and people not really knowing about, you know, how great our community is, and they trashed our community and talked bad about it. So it doesn't surprise me the way their campaign was. We kept a campaign that was no bad stuff talked about. You know, we just kept saying, you know, good things about how good our community was, and we didn't slag or go after their other candidates.
And in hindsight, it was a lack of any criticism whatsoever against people with no qualifications for politics. And that was apparently part of the campaign out there. That, again, look at Scott Goodman said $19,000 for media training. That was the first year. Has that helped? Is he up to the point now where he knows how things work? Did he, you know, get a magic ticket and a chocolate bar and he gets to go visit a factory? Like, everything that we heard during the campaign turned out not to be what it was presented as. And the latest evidence that we have, and it's finally evidence, is the report that we got back on Langford's forest canopy. Langford did have a tree bylaw. It always had a tree bylaw. It's part of the bylaw that governs the development permit area. It is very restrictive, and it requires replanting and replacement of trees that are lost. Mike Kozakowski talked about that because he, of course, knows all about the industry. He goes, oh, yeah, no, it's like you have to plant trees. If you're building in Langford, you are expected to put new trees in to replace the ones that get cut down. Those were the rules.
You mentioned mistruths. Do you want to expand on that?
This is back to October 2022.
Well, you know, things like people that, you know, we would talk to people and they'd say, you don't have a tree bylaw. We did have a tree bylaw. You know, we didn't have a dust bylaw. We have a dust bylaw.
And they did have those things, although there are some who thought a dust bylaw should be something that, as far as I could tell, is impossible. Like, dust blows onto your property and you can call bylaw and they'll take a sample of it and they'll trace it back to which construction site it came from and give them a fine. That was never going to happen. But now that we have information in hand, and now that we have the municipality that supposedly didn't have a tree protection bylaw, turns out it was better than Victoria. It was better than Saanich. It's Urban Forest Canopy. This is this week, Monday, April 15th, 2024.
The first sort of key metric I'll touch on this evening is canopy cover. And what canopy cover is, should anyone not be familiar, is if you can just sort of imagine It's the area of Langford covered by tree canopy.
Which should be zero, right? They don't even have a law.
As you might observe it while flying over the city. And canopy cover measurements are becoming quite popular as a planning and policy support.
All right, I'm listening. Keep talking. Why is it good? What does it do?
They provide a fair and relatively accessible
metric.
Means for a community.
To do what?
Community to benchmark its urban forest management practices, not only against itself over time, but against...
But against who? Against peers like Victoria and Saanich?
Time, but against its peers as well.
Oh!
And the state of represents the first time the city of Langford has actually undertaken a comprehensive, or wall-to-wall, as we call it, canopy cover mapping.
And that was the problem, is that because the city didn't spend the money to pay the helicopter to use the laser to count all the trees, and that's what they did. They used LIDAR. They have, like, high-resolution maps of certain trees and different wavelengths of light. They go, oh, it was provincial money, and it was a provincial grant, but it was like $40,000. They paid this helicopter to go around and generate this really space-age sort of cool data set. All right, but there's people going to the food bank because they can't pay their taxes. I still think that it was the wrong time for this, but God, is the irony ever delicious that Langford now raised the taxes to create the evidence to show that Langford now got in on a bunch of BS that was made up and thrown at the wall. Because Langford had more trees in it on average than Victoria did by a mile. You can get rid of all the parks with trees in them in Langford and only count the ones outside of parks, and it still has better urban forest canopy coverage than Victoria does. Saanich would beat it, though. Saanich is in the low 40s, but Langford is at 48%, and we can be confident of that because, remember, all that money was spent on the helicopter, the laser radar.
And the data sets we've used to prepare this particular analysis use a combination of industry tools called LIDAR and high-resolution ortho imagery. But suffice it to say, it's quite accurate and quite high resolution.
So how much is it? And is it relatively high compared to other municipalities?
And at 48% canopy cover, which works out to just about 2,000 or so hectares.
I fell off my chair last weekend when I read this story, because I remember the debates that we've had here in Victoria where Chris Coleman reminded colleagues in December that their target is 40. So Langford is already 8 points above Victoria's target, and Victoria needs 50,000 new mature trees to get to 40.
Our boreal canopy is about 28%, and our goal is to get to 40%, which means we need another 50,000 trees. Mature trees in the city, both on private lands and on public lands.
Meanwhile, in Langford, they're sitting at 48.
And at 48% canopy cover, which works out to just about 2,000 or so hectares.
Because Langford always had a tree bylaw, and there were new trees growing and maturing all the time.
Langford's canopy cover would certainly be considered relatively high by an urban standard.
Oh, breathe it in. It's like oxygen. Those, I don't know how they can stay in office, honestly. Like, they must be embarrassed when they walk down the road. Like, their entire narrative wasn't real. It was just something a bunch of people on Facebook talked each other into, and there was no evidence to disprove it. So it was like Stu Young was guilty unless he could prove himself innocent, and he didn't have the helicopter data. So it was just assumed that Langford was a moonscape with no trees on it. And it was always total bullsh, you know what. And there should be consequences, by the way. You win a contest on just outright fabulism, it should hurt. You should lose something. You should be punished for the harm you have done to the community. And none of them have been punished yet. Not enough.
Langford's canopy cover would certainly be considered relatively high by an urban standard.
Like, that's resignation-worthy material right there. And none of them have resigned yet. It just keeps getting worse.
But putting this number forward, we also need to recognize that 30...
And this is what they're clinging on to. They go, but it's not equitably distributed. What about the equity score?
Putting this number forward, we also need to recognize that 37% of that canopy is contained to parks, 19% to provincial, and 11% to regional. Just 7% of the city's tree canopy is contained to municipal parks.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, thank God. It must be horrible once we're outside the parks, right? You got to give us something here. No, when you just look at the canopy outside the parks, it's still better than Victoria's is.
Canopy is notably lower, sitting at around 30%.
30%. So Victoria is 28%.
Remember that our boreal canopy is about 28%, and our
and Langford's not counting the parks.
Canopy is notably lower, sitting at around 30%.
Is still 2 points higher than Victoria's is.
This discussion is important because while parks are an important part of the solution, natural areas do not serve the community in the same way as truly urban canopy does.
And, you know, you can make that argument, but that's not the argument that was made. Like, the arguments that were made were bull. They were gone. Like, it's like they should be ashamed of themselves. We should see resignations. They should not be allowed to do jobs where they are trusted to produce information that's reliable, honestly. Like, after what we have seen, like, this is just, it's probably one of the most blatant political misinformation campaigns that I've ever seen in my life. And bit by bit, it's being disproven by the plans that they supposedly have commissioned to exonerate them. And all it's showing is how much they made stuff up, knowing that Stu Young hadn't paid the money to do the proper studies to prove them wrong. They used doubt against the municipality. And in the end, it was just made up.
People don't typically live their day-to-day lives in the city's naturalized areas. And so while these features are an important part of the equation, we also need to consider what our urbanized areas and subdivisions look like.
And then they get into a tree equity score and they talk about all this other stuff. And that's, of course, what Langford Council is going to cling to. Because, like, what else do you have when the proof comes out that Stu Young was telling the truth when he said it was misinformation? And Langford is being destroyed right now, financially speaking, because the developers are leaving. They're not interested. New projects have virtually dried up. The taxes have gone up 30%. Since 2022. Yeah, property taxes are up 30% since 2022. They held an announcement the other day where they took a program that's designed to reduce developer costs for redoing sidewalks, and they somehow spun it about kids getting to school safely, even though that's not what the program was actually designed for, because they are desperate for literally any good news right now to counterbalance the fact that they got in by identifying problems that were not there, don't actually have the tools that are needed to fix them, and people are paying, on average, per household, it's $550 more than they did with Stu Young in power, and they have nothing to show for it. They have a more incompetent government. They have more public embarrassment, and the community, by the mayor's own admission, February 14th, is more divided than it's ever been. We'll take a quick break. We're back after this.
This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Oh, I love doing the math on this. So Langford is 41 square kilometers in area. Victoria is only about 19 square kilometers. I think it's 19 point something. 48% of 41 square kilometers is 19.7 square kilometers. Langford's forest canopy is the same size as the entire city of Victoria, the entire municipality. So not only proportionally does Langford have more trees than Victoria, Langford's treed areas are larger than Victoria is, or almost exactly the same. You'd have to take a really precise measurement. But in all this time, it was flipped around. You had Matt Dell and Caradonna going after Langford on their podcast, talking about how, oh, at Langford, it's so backwards. It doesn't have tree protection rules like Victoria does. Langford's got more trees than all of Victoria. Victoria's canopy coverage could be 100%, and it still wouldn't have as many trees as Langford does right now. That is the reality. Except that's not what people were told. There was an absence of data. There was an absence of information. And they knew that because they ran on that. The challenger's out in Langford. So they just sort of made up whatever, threw it at the wall, conjecture, guessing. And the election doesn't get canceled just because it turns out it wasn't real. The taxes stay the taxes. The development changes stay the development changes. The divides stay the divides. And everybody loses. And I think that's just profoundly unfortunate. But you know what? The small measure of justice that I am seeing right now is at least people are figuring out who was telling them the truth when all was said and done. And it wasn't the crowd that a lot of people gave the benefit of the doubt to. It just wasn't. Lanny Seaton's calling in. Hey, Lanny, is that you?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, how you doing? Did you hear about the trees?
Oh, yeah. Well, I knew that all along. I'm sitting here looking at a whole bunch of trees right now, looking interesting thing about it, that we was talking about the safe routes to school thing.
Yeah.
You know, they make a big thing about it, but we had that, you know, I think it was my second term, we had a problem with getting the kids to Glen Lake School. And, of course, we work with the school board to decide on where these trails should go. And I guess Millstream School was probably the first one.
Yeah.
And we built a trail behind Millstream School that went all the way up in, all the way to Goldie Park, so the kids could come down from the higher areas of Trainer Avenue and come in that way rather than going on the roads. And then we put more parking in for the kids to get to school. And then Glen Lake School was the second one. We put a sidewalk all the way up to Glen Lake School. Of course, now it's Belmont High School. And then we had the trail that went behind the arena. We paved that because it was where the water main goes. And, of course, you couldn't build on that. So we paved all that. And so there's a whole trail that goes right from Jackson Road right to Glen Lake Road. And then it connects to the sidewalk by Sarah Beckett Park. And then you go up to the school.
Yeah.
So this is nothing new. I mean, and I remember the last budget we did, Lillian got up and said, well, she wanted to add to the sidewalk budget. And so anyway, well, Stu says we got a pretty robust sidewalk budget now. And so what she wanted to add would put about 3% onto the taxes. So we said, no, that doesn't make sense to put another 3% on the taxes when a lot of these areas are probably going to get sidewalks anyway. So, you know, so we voted it down. And, of course, it came back again through this group. And she used her friend over there, other counselor, to bring it up and put it on the taxes again. But, you know, some of the areas, they need to consult with the school boards and find out the problem areas, not just go ahead and put them anywhere. And then, of course, I fought at the CRD to get the Atkins to Savory School section completed.
Yeah.
And there's two sections in Langford of the rails trail that the kids can walk down all the way thing. And I was trying to get the last piece done from Jackson Road to Humpback. And then the kids that go to Liam and the new schools and Belmont could use that trail to go to school. So it would be a safe road to school.
I think a lot of people didn't realize, Lanny, that you were chair of the Parks Committee. So parks and trails, like, that was your domain. And I think some people didn't realize that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny because I've had people come up to me and say, well, you know, I was going to phone you about this, but I didn't want to bother you. And I said, well, I don't mind you bothering me. I mean, if I didn't want to be bothered, I wouldn't have run in the first place. You
exactly.
know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you need to be upfront and honest with people rather than hiding behind. I can't believe some of the stuff that's going on. I mean, you know, one of the things that everybody used to give Stu a bad time was he'd let people speak, but then when they brought up something that wasn't right, he would argue with them. Well, no, that's
not
true. True.
Yeah, he'd go
and
back
would
and
tell
forth.
Them the truth, you
yeah.
know? And, you know, it's the same with when I was down to the CRD and I was trying to get that rail trail going through. I had an argument with the mayor at the time and said, well, look, you know, like, if we connect this, we could use the trails that you have in Victoria. Well, she got kind of huffy with me about that, the bike trails, you know, and all this other stuff. But there's other, you know, it's some of this stuff I just don't believe that they won't let people talk. I mean,
well,
the committees, you could talk until your teeth fell out, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't a problem.
Yeah, I remember I watched somebody, the last one you chaired, it was Langford, now as researcher, volunteer researcher, asked a guy if he lived in Langford. Like, they were, like, quizzing people on the committees if a fellow with Victoria Contract lived in Langford. He said, no, ma'am, I don't. He was polite. It was cordial. But, yeah, you could ask anything. That's not on the agenda.
Oh, yeah, no. And that's what the committee system was all about, is because you had your peers were on those committees. Like, some of the guys on my committee had been in Langford all their life. Like, they were people I knew, I grew up with, and you know, and so, and same with all the other committee. There was, you know, the development committee, it had some developers on it, yeah, but you need all sides of the argument to be able to make a good decision.
Yeah.
You know, and people got to speak as long as they wanted to speak at the committees. You could speak, and it wasn't 3 minutes, it wasn't 20 minutes, it could be 2 hours if you wanted. It was never a problem.
Lanny,
and now it's three minutes. If you can't get it out in 3 minutes, you get cut off. Or if you say, well, Mr. Goodmanson, I don't like the color of your tie, bingo, you're cut off. It's crazy.
Lanny, he hardly ever wears a tie. I know what you mean.
I know. And he keeps talking about how he went to school out here. Well, he should be ashamed of himself because, you know, the difference between what it was when I grew up. You know what? I had a lot of good memories about Langford, but, you know, I've got a lot of good memories. And I don't regret some of the things we did, maybe not sit well with everybody, but I think Langford's a better place now than it used to be.
Oh, totally.
And you know,
the more they learn about it, the more they prove it. See, that's the one
We had people step forward in the community, like I was telling you before about the arena down there.
Yeah.
Well, the Access Refrigeration came along and said, "Look, we will make a deal with you if we let us have an office in that arena."
Yeah.
And a workshop, mm-hmm. We'll maintain that arena for you and look after it.
Yeah,
and he came in with a design, and he designs arenas all over the world. He's flying to New York, he's going into Dubai, all over the world. He uses that arena as a training center. And like I said before, he takes the heat that we generate and puts it underneath the arena, and then we pull it out and we heat the bowling alley, and then the rest goes up to West Hills.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of these things were done years ago, but they're all contracts that we did good faith with people. You know, like people would volunteer. Like if I needed, when we wanted to put a boat ramp into Glen Lake,
yeah.
I went to the Truckers Association, and they volunteered their trucks, and they hauled the grass, and we got the rock donated, and we built a ramp to put the weed machine into Glen Lake. And they all volunteered their machines. I got pictures of all the guys that volunteered the machines on a weekend for free to help, you know.
That's cool. I like
that. And Nirmal Joel's dad was one of them, and, and Nirmal and all those guys. And I remember years ago we were doing somebody came to me and my wife and said, you know, we should put a float in the parade. And I said, well, that's not a bad idea. So I went to Stu, and he said, well, I'll give you a flat deck, but you guys have got to do the work. So we went over there. Well, we took it over, and actually Wendy Hobbs and Dave Hobbs, Dave Delby helped. We put the thing in their yard, and we built a float in the parade. And Nirmal Joel's dad said that they would truck all, and Linsville Elf donated all the garden stuff.
Yeah.
We took it down there and put it all on the float. We won first prize for first Miss Bell's float.
Right,
and we
on.
Did it all. Everybody worked together.
Yeah.
And the Joels, they hauled all the stuff in, and we put it on the float, and we won first prize.
Did you hear Wendy in Luxton Road when she found out about the sidewalk infill matrix stuff?
Well, you know, she's right. That's one road that probably needs a sidewalk all the way down.
Yeah.
And it would be an easy one to infill because there's a lot of it already there.
Yep.
You know, and there's a ditch on one side, so you can't put a sidewalk on that side.
No.
But, you know, when we took over, we had a problem with flooding in the Happy Valley area, and we solved a lot of the problems with the flooding. It doesn't flood like it used to.
Yeah.
Mind you, it could do if you got a big storm, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, and you know, I get a kick out of them all knocking Stu. Like the guy, he's blaming Stu for trees that came down in the Highlands. You know, I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though. Like, it's social media misinformation did this, and the side that is the harmful misinformation, like, to this day, I still think a bunch of them don't realize they're the bad guys. Like, they were the ones making things up. They were the ones misleading the public. They convinced themselves that it was backwards, and a lot of them are still in this delusion, and it's taking forever for them to snap out of it.
Yeah, and, you know, they just don't, like, for them to sit there and put that budget through and not even acknowledge it. Like, there's a couple of them that did acknowledge it was a little too high. But when you look now, the why, what did they need to buy the why? No.
No, and they still
haven't.
You
were right about that.
We still haven't.
That was a contract that we did, and it worked out really well for the city. You know, I laugh because, you know, this sidewalk thing came up the last budget we had, and we said no because it was going to add 3% to the budget, and it was mainly up in the Trainer Avenue area where a couple of the councilors live.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, we had when they put the Bellamy Link subdivision in there, we had the developer was going to build a bridge across Millstream Creek, and then there's another trail that runs along the Millstream Creek all the way to Millstream School.
Yeah.
So it's actually better to get the kids off the road and get them on a trail, you know, because it's safer.
Yep. I'm almost at the point now where I'm excited that they're doing these studies because they're going to do an inventory of all the amenities.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to come back, and we're going to see how many amenities Langford had per household compared to other municipalities. And I bet you it's just like the tree report does. It's going to be some embarrassed people explaining why they were wrong, but they still got power out of making people dislike their own community. And that was the worst part, is they took people in Langford who were happy, and they tricked them and convinced them to hate their own community, to think their own community was backwards, to think their own community was hurting nature. Like, what an awful thing to divide a community, to turn people against each other for cynical personal gain. It's just awful.
Well, you know, and there's the couple of them that started that website over in Happy Valley, they were really vicious. Some of the things that were said on there were over the top, really. I mean, if you could sue them, you could probably sue them for slander. But, you know,
That's what the Langford Now side does. Goodmanson proved that. They're the ones threatening to sue people. And you know what? I don't go in for that bullying and intimidation stuff. I'm just going to relentlessly, systematically prove who was telling the truth. And then, you know what, Lenny? When this is all over, all that nonsense that they said about me, none of it's going to matter because nobody's going to ever listen to any of them ever again.
No.
That's how this
ends. If you could see the vision, like I went up the other day in Prospect Park, Protector Park.
Yep.
We bought two houses in there, and they've gone, and they're getting ready to develop. It was all part of the plan to make green space in the core.
Yep.
And you know, we promoted the railway. I still think the railway is the way to go for transportation. And everybody keeps giving me a bad time about it. I get teased all the time.
Well, that's okay. We can disagree on that. I'm skeptical too, Lanny, but I admire your faith in it.
No, I just think, you know, I've traveled. I watch a show on Knowledge Network, and I tell everybody, go on Knowledge Network and have a look at Knowledge Network. There was a show on there.
Yeah.
It's the scenic railways of the world.
Yeah.
And they showed one in Norway the other day. And now you talk about terrain that's hard to build railways in. And they built a railway. It's all electric, and it connects all the way from Oslo all the way up into the Arctic Circle. And it connects all these small little villages all the way up. And I said to the wife, I said, if I ever go back to Norway, I'm going to take that train and ride on it. It is beautiful. You know, it's unreal. And the other day they showed the Rocky Mountaineer, and you know, it was just unreal.
Yeah.
You know, you don't realize what you got in your backyard until you go somewhere else and look around. But that railway is going to be the backbone of this island. If we don't build that railway, we're going to be in trouble.
Lanny, you're making a believer out of me. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. I got to run though.
Okay,
I'll talk to you later.
Good.
Okay.
All right. Right on.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You have a good day. You take care. Quick break. Back in a moment.
Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070 and streaming on the iHeartRadio app.
Texture at 1070.10 writes, are you Stu Young's own Tucker Carlson? Oh, this is a good one. Let's read it. It says, I changed my vote and did not vote for him last election. I wasn't brainy by the other side's misinformation. A texter writes, I don't know what brainy means. Convinced or I don't know what that means. You write, here's an idea. Rather than constantly lauding Stu's time as mayor, no, I'm critiquing the current government by offering a counterexample. To be clear, I didn't really praise or attack much out in Langford. I guess actually, no, I was pretty happy with it being the lowest taxes in the jurisdiction, like in the region, because it was proof that a municipality that cut red tape, well, of course, everything has a cost and nothing's perfect, could be prosperous and could do amazing things that other municipalities said were impossible. That's why I liked Langford. It showed what was possible when we got rid of this sort of self-imposed prison that we put ourselves in by saying that we have to have everything move at the glacial speed of municipal government when we don't. There are alternatives. There was innovation out there. It was new. It was fresh. It was exciting. It was bold. I liked all those things. Why wouldn't I? It was everything good that Victoria wasn't. And everywhere that Victoria was wrong, Langford was different and backwards, which made it better. That's all it is, seriously. Texter writes, maybe do a show where you ask, why did Stu and Council get voted out of office? The main answer is probably because we all got fooled. Won't because we all got fooled. Well, no, it's because there was misinformation. Like, if you ask the people who voted against them, did you know that Langford has more urban forest coverage than both Saanich and Victoria? They would say no. If you said, did you know that Langford's urban forest is bigger than Victoria is. Like all of Victoria. The entire city of Victoria would have 100% tree canopy shade if all of Langford's trees could be teleported over the city of Victoria. Because Langford's twice the size of Victoria in terms of area, even though it's half the population. You probably wouldn't know that either. There's any number of things that you were probably told that simply were not true, but they couldn't be disproven either. And that was the sort of political wedge, or that was the foothold that was taken. And there was actually some skill put behind their campaign as well. But in the end, it wasn't real. They tricked a bunch of people into hating their own community, into not being proud of what it was, into thinking that it was far more harmful than what it was, into thinking it was a lot worse than what it was. And they took power that way, and now they're ruining it because they never knew how to actually build anything. They never actually figured out how to achieve anything. They were critics, and we need critics in society, to be clear. I mean, I'm a critic of the provincial government as well as municipal governments all the time, but I'm not saying put me in charge of Langford. That's not part of this equation. I have no plans to run for public office at any point in future. Although I do find politics interesting, I find that I'm better as the outside critic than I am saying, let me build it instead, because that's not what I'm good at. What I'm very good at is assessing weaknesses, sniffing out BS, and demonstrating things that don't make sense. Because I remember everything that everybody says, even when they don't remember what they themselves said. So when their stories change and they make up better ones and they don't even notice it, I do. And I prove it to the public. Just pointing that out. No, if you've heard bad stuff about me, though, I know that a bunch of supporters of this new council spent probably 6 solid months doing everything they could to try to ruin my reputation as punishment for telling the truth about them, to try to bully me and intimidate me out of doing my job. That's fine. That can never get taken back, though. That's what they are. That's what it will always be now. And yeah, I don't care what they have written about me on that Facebook page, because you know what? By the time this is over, nobody is going to want to be associated with that Facebook page, because I was not the only target. And you make a choice when you participate there. The public sees it. Hundreds of people might be keeping careful track of who's there and who isn't. And if you don't know that, then please allow me to actually tell you how things actually work. And yeah, like I just, and for what? So the taxes can go up, people can get tricked about the tree canopy coverage of their own municipality, so development can crash, so housing can get more expensive, so we can have a community that's more divided than it's ever been. Langford is a cautionary tale that I'm chronicling and analyzing bit by bit going forward, and it was really easy for me to figure out who the aggressor was, because when I first showed up, there was the sort of status quo previous government appreciating side R. Langford as well as the new faction. The government-appreciating Stu Young side never tried to intimidate me out of doing my job, whereas that's all the new crew supporters did for a long time. So I knew right away which side was the aggressor. And lo and behold, bit by bit, piece of evidence by piece of evidence, hard piece of information by hard piece of information, it's been demonstrated. Not that it matters, though. You know, I wonder if they'll spend another $20,000 on luxury hotel bills when they go to Vancouver again later on this year. They legally can. There's no way that I can stop them from doing it. But what I can do is my job, that's analyze it to the best of my ability and tell the truth about it. And I never have backed down on that, despite, you know, the best efforts of some. Quick break. Back in a moment.